Hot round! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the ball?
I'll get you the ball.
I hope he didn't kill somebody.
Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
I got a whole lot of money. Y'all it for me. Bottle key popping that water, man.
Spring has sprung, and the Kentucky Wildcats are back at spring practice. I'm Nick Rouse, joined today by Adam Luck and Freddie Maggard for KSR's Kentucky Football Spring Practice Preview. We're going to touch on a little bit of that, our week at the NFL Combine, and might even dabble into a little madness. But football is back. The sun is shining bright over our old Kentucky home. And Luckett, I just want you to know that I am now the good question asker. Your time is done, buddy.
I think Rich is just getting he heard about the KSR guys and he's just assuming it's you. So he's just getting the KSR guys mixed up there.
See, what it was, Freddie, is last year, every time Luckett hopped on one of these damn Zooms, Liam Cohen would be like, you know, that's a good question. Good question. It took me until the LSU game to finally get a good question out of Liam Cohen after I asked him something. And what do you know? First time I asked, actually, I guess technically the second time I asked Rich, he was speaking after Tuesday spring practice, open straight up, you know, so what's I even forgot what it was, but it was like, what's the differences or what? I don't even know what I asked, but I got a good question out of Rich right out of the gate.
I've never gotten one. I've been doing this a long time. And even when I worked there, I never got a good question. So, I think Luckett's question about the hash marks last year was KSR Hall of Fame level question from Adam. I really like that one.
Thank you.
Well, it made sense, man. You know, it was it's practical. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That and asking Nick Saban. I don't know. I've about 12 personnel, so I've got to set my game up.
Well, the hash mark is actually a rule I would like to see college maybe adapt that NFL rule because. Playing a team like Tennessee, how they stretch the field vertically and horizontally, it makes it a pain in the you-know-what to defend when you've got to defend. You know, the hash marks all the way over to the left, and they got all that grass, whatever it is, 35-plus yards to the right, plus whatever they got vertical. It's makes it hard to defend. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a real, real adjustment that people coming from NFL have to make, and vice versa if you're going from college to pro.
I thought it was a great question. It made a lot of sense because it does change. And for folks that don't know, the hash marks that go vertically up and down the field are different from high school to college to the NFL. The high school are wider, then they come in a little bit for college. NFL really tight. So it does affect where the ball is placed. If the down is on the side of the field, the ball is placed on the hash mark. So it makes a big difference.
Yeah, and I think the talking point yesterday – at least to start spring practice, we've got new coordinators. Well, we got a new offensive line coach in Zach Yenzer, new offensive coordinator in Rich Scangarello, and new linebackers coach in Mike Stoops. Three new coaches, 10 new mid-year enrollees joining the team for 15 spring practices. It will not culminate with a spring game. There will be a spring game April 9th at Kroger Field, 1 p.m., you either have to have ESPN Plus to watch or you can just go to the game. Admission, of course, is always free. We've been 2 years without a spring game, so it'll be good to get it back after a nice break. But with the offensive coordinator search, it kind of threw off the timing. So they're having the spring game and then three practices after the spring game to wrap up spring practice. But I think the tone is sameness, but also newness. You have a lot of new guys coming in, but they're running the same kind of system, just tweaking it a little bit. You know, Rich Gangarello is from the same Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay pro-style offensive tree that's ran by probably, if I was just guessing, 20 of the 32 NFL teams by now. A lot of people are running this. It's what Stoops wanted to stick to. And yesterday, on the first day of opening practice, there's some little subtle differences here and there, whether, you know, it's timing, it's footwork, different steps for different routes, et cetera, et cetera. But all in all, I think things are largely big picture staying the same. This spring is about making the adjustments to keep the momentum rolling. And Luck and I, we've talked a couple of times. We were up in Indy for the NFL Combine. So we've shared our thoughts quite a bit, Freddie, on the new additions. We've spoken with him. I'm curious, you're just maybe not even general, but like what you think about the new guys on campus, particularly Rich Gangarello.
I like the fact that Scangarello and Insert have history, because there's a lot of communication that goes both ways from the OC down to the position coaches. But the offensive line coach has a special place on a coaching staff, especially in the run game. I'm not for sure if Insert will get run game coordinator title, but that's what an offensive line coach is at many times. And that's what John Schlarman was for Eddie Grant. So I like the fact that they have history and can go together with install adjustments, terminology, and because Yenser's faced with a tremendous task. For me, the story of spring practices on offense is at tackle. I think that is the most pressing personnel issues, DeAndre Buford, Jeremy Flax, Keontae Goodwin, and however, if Kentucky goes to the portal. So I think Yenser has a lot of work to do. A new center with Eli Cox, I love that move. And then Kenneth Horsey. Cox and Horsey are the only two starters. The rest are unknown. So I like the fact that the offensive line coach has history with the OC, because those two are going to be doing a lot of work to rebuild that big blue wall.
Yeah, and you mentioned Eli Cox's move to center. Yesterday he was pretty straightforward. He's like, yep, the first team center reps today. So he's getting coached by a former center as well, and Drake Jackson. He snapped balls before, so this is nothing new. But you know, like we talked a lot about the sameness and the similar personality traits Yenser has with Sharman. Cox said straight up, like, everybody's got to know all five positions this spring. We've all got to learn them. We've all got to figure them out. So even though you might have guys slotted into a specific spot in your mind, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if a guy like Kenneth Horsey ends up getting a lot of run at offensive tackle.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts there. I think you feel pretty good about four guys there. Cox, Horsey, Manning, and who am I forgetting? I guess that they're just the three inside.
Kind of like Jagger too, you know?
Yeah, and Jagger long-term, yeah, we don't know, you know, only his second year in the program. But you feel good about those three, just finding two guys. So how do they shuffle that around? It's going to be interesting to follow. But I do like what Freddie said, like that offensive line coach. It's big for a lot of reasons. I mean, we heard Mark Stoops of the Citrus Bowl say how, you know, the O-line kind of sets the tone for your team. They're kind of the leaders of the bunch. You know, just scholarship, you're spending a good chunk of your 85 at that position. You know, in running the ball, it's kind of a mindset. We saw last year when they had some struggles, it was really just, you know, it was more of a mindset. It wasn't some skill or scheme or anything like that. They kind of lead the way there. And so having a guy like Yenser, and it seems like that trust level is being picked up right away, glowing reviews so far. I think that's a pretty good sign for that group moving forward. It's really the million-dollar question is tackle. What do they do at tackle? Are the starters on the roster? Will the starters be added to the roster? If Kenneth Orsi has to kick out, is it right or left? Who replaces him inside? So a lot of moving parts and a lot of unknowns still. And even when we go and see the spring game there, I think we'll leave that with some unknowns, knowing that the portal is out there potentially to add somebody.
Yeah, Adam, and I think for the first time in a long time, we have a star quarterback.
Yeah.
And with a star quarterback and Will Levis, everything, the offense's intent and the coordinator's intent will be to put Will Levis in the best situation in a run and pass game. Obviously, the run game, you have Chris Rodriguez Jr., which is a benefit, and three other capable backs. There are question marks at receiver. Tavion Robinson, I think, Adam, you wrote about it, will step in to be wide receiver one. But with Keaton Upshaw coming back, Jordan Dingle, Isaiah Cummins eventually, and Brenda Bates, I think you can take the ease off the pressure of panic mode as far as getting receivers in place because of that run game and then the utilization of the tight ends. But receiver for me is second on my personnel priority list, especially on offense. It's got to be there. Got to develop and going to have to find some playmakers to step up and get vertical.
Well, let's spend some time on that question mark. And then I think the third question mark is cornerback. So we'll just address them all right now. But I think yesterday when first off, Will Levis, dude does not miss an arm day. So I don't think that's going to be vascular is a good way to describe him. Dude is going all in. It's nice to not have a question mark there. I mean, how many times have we been in spring practice and is it going to be this? It's really good to have some certainty there. But there does remain a little, you know, some uncertainty on the outside. And there was something Cleavan Thomas said yesterday. And I know Cleavan, he's been in the program for since the Reagan administration. He was, you know, splitting reps with Joker back in the day. But Cleavan did make I thought he made a really good point yesterday in that Wandale really helped boost the morale of this group, where for the longest time, we dogged on those pass catchers. I remember sitting with Jared in that studio in Lexington, Freddie, and Jared were just like, just catch the ball. That's all you got to do. Just catch the ball.
Yeah.
And that has been a talking point year after year after year after year. And Wandale and Josh, they really helped erase that. Last year, they helped give these guys some confidence. You've got a few old guys in the room like Cleveland and DeMarcus Harris. DeMarcus Harris flashed pretty well there down the stretch at the end of the season. And you've recruited it well from the high school ranks and also brought in some transfer portal guys. Baker, the kid from Alabama, won't be here this spring. And like it, I think it gives a really big opportunity for Chris Lewis to make some noise on the outside.
Yeah, just there's a lot of unproven pieces, but there's some real talent, I think, in that room. And so if you can just develop a few guys, hit on these transfers, I think you could. And with the addition of the quarterback, yeah, I think it's pretty easy to talk yourself into that. I think just returning a quarterback is just going to solve a lot of issues for the team. That you can put a lot on his plate to do certain things, and I think – it's going to be a breath of fresh air for a lot of people in the program and for us, Nick. I mean, there's not going to – I mean, you know, we all can talk about a left tackle battle for hours, but I don't think, you know, a lot of people outside of that are going to be all into that. You know, you got the quarterback. It's going to ease a lot of people's minds. So, yeah, the wide receiver is definitely a question mark, but they've recruited well here the last couple of years. Now it's time to start seeing that pay off. And specifically, I think you're going to really need to see some young guys step up. Chris Lewis and Crowdis, I think you really need one of those guys, I think, to really step in and be a big part of the rotation.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, Freddie, one random person that got thrown in, and he got thrown in last year too, but we never seen anything. It was Tay-Tay Kerbs. So I don't know what – yeah, that one surprised me, Freddie, because you hear it maybe in practice, but we don't really see it. So, you know, you'd like to have one of those vertical threat guys. Maybe Tay-Tay or Dekel can be it. Dekel is healthy. I don't know why. Are we going Dekel? Is it Dekel or Dekel? Ryan Lemon throws me off when he calls him Dekel. but you'd like to have one of those vertical threats. And even though ideally Baker is on campus developing chemistry now, you're at least giving some of those other guys opportunity to shine this spring.
Yeah, I think you can break them down in the categories of transfer. We're talking just spring practice. Tavion Robinson needs to be wide receiver one. He needs to be as good as advertised. There's proven production for Virginia Tech. The veterans, Cleveland Thomas, DeMarcus Harris. You can throw Rashawn Lewis in there. Mm-hmm. One of those guys needs to surface in September through deep. Then you got the unknowns, Tay-Tay Crooms and Ernest Sanders. We've heard a lot about Tay-Tay in practice for years now, right? But we've not seen the production on the field. It's time for one of those two to contribute,
yeah,
or be passed over. I mean, you can't have juniors that's never played,
right?
You know, continue to not factor. So there are the risers, Chris Lewis, Chauncey Magwood, one of those two, I agree, needs to step up. Then the rookies, Dane Key is in there, and DeKalb County is in that same situation. So, you know, I think the two deep in April is going to look different than the two deep in September, mm-hmm, because we're not factoring in Barrion Brown,
yeah,
or Javon Baker. But it's good that a resemblance of a two deep. So I think there's going to be serious looks at the veterans, but – if the younger players are as good, it's equal or a little bit better, you got to go with the younger players, because the veterans have had plenty of time to show what they're worth. If they're passed over, then it's going to be a youth movement.
When you're building a position room, you kind of want what they have at receiver.
Yeah.
You've got a proven guy, kind of a senior, expected to be your leader, but then you got some other upperclassmen that, you know, they're stepping up to replace somebody. But there's some young cats in there that are talented, that want to play. And so, like, there should be some fierce competition,
yeah,
at that position. And, you know, that should lead to some good things. And it's not just going to end in the spring, because, like you talked about, Javon, right, Baker's coming in. I think bare minimum, Barrion Brown's going to be kind of a gadget player that they're going to look to get to the ball on, you know, jet sweeps, reverses, screens, stuff of that nature. So that's never going to end. And I think we could open the season with a rotation, and I could see it being totally different, mm-hmm, when they go to if they qualify for bowl and they're down and wherever for bowl practice, it could be totally different in 3 month span because of how young I think that room is and just kind of all the different moving parts they have there.
Well, yeah, Cleveland Thomas, Tay-Tay Crooms, Ernest Sanders, all juniors or redshirt sophomores or older, have combined for 16 career catches. So, mm-hmm, it's make or break for those three this spring, mm-hmm, in my opinion.
The one thing that I also think is different that goes back to that quarterback stability, you know, every year these guys are throwing, right? Like, they've got their throwing sessions in the offseason. Well, what's a nice little added bonus to this year's throwing sessions is Bo Allen and Will Levis, they're using that biomechanics quarterback coach, that kind of extra trainer, you know, whatever you want to call him. But essentially, when they do their individual workouts with him, that's on top of, we're running 7-on-7, we're running routes on air, and it just adds more. Like, you can't have a coach on the field with you at all times, but this guy, they put a little camera up, he does the stuff, gives him feedback. It's a weird kind of dynamic, but it also is added extra instruction where I'm sure Levis and Allen, they're the ones paying for it, but the receivers are receiving some of the benefit there. And really what it comes down to in all of this is just developing a chemistry, and you can only do that with reps. Like, you can't, yeah, know, you know, Freddie, you can speak to this much better than any of us, but like, Will can't know how Tavion Robinson is going to break on a square against cover three, like, until he, yeah, does it over and over and over again. That's the only way they're going to be able to create the kind of chemistry that him and Wandell created last year.
Yeah, we're talking about mainly the summer months here, Nick. And I think, as from a player's perspective, there's a big difference between a leader and a rah-rah guy. It's hard for a player that's not very good to be a leader. I mean, let's just be honest with you. Will Levis has that proven year of being good and peaking towards the end in a very high trajectory. So players are going to follow him. So I think during the summer months, you got Will Levis out there directing the show. Tavion Robinson comes in with all that proven production from Virginia Tech. And Cleveland Thomas, let's give him credit. He was a player coach kind of last year, so yep. – He understands both sides of it. So The fact is that Will Levis, again, going back to you got a quarterback, and he's a good one. If you're a good player, you're a better leader, and I think players will follow Will this summer.
Man, it's so as much as there's been some changes, there is still some stability. The one where there is some moving parts still, the biggest question mark on the other side of the football is at cornerback. Of all of the boxes that you can look over the defense and check, yes, they're losing Josh Pascal. You cannot replicate, like you said, Freddie, that sort of leader. But there's a lot of skill, a lot of talent over there. You brought some in with Darian Henry Young. You've recruited really well at defensive line. You've got a ton of linebackers. You've got a ton of safeties, but you don't have the cornerback. So they're experimenting with Vito Tisdale at cornerback. And the line you had last week is just one that nothing sums it up better.
Yeah, I mean, it's very enticing, but it scares the hell out of you because you just don't. I mean, anything and everything is on the line, I think, if Vito Tisdale is playing that position.
But, I mean, if he's a boundary, like, that's what I think they missed. Since Derek Beatty's been gone, is having that guy who's, you know, not afraid to put his nose up there and get messy.
Yeah. And this is a different level, too. I mean, this is very much heat-seeking missile you would have over there. But there's obviously the coverage concerns with that, too. And Kentucky, when you're mixing man and zone and all that different types of stuff, you know, got to trust he's doing the right thing. If he's not, you could be in a world of hurt. But I do like the idea. I mean, you got to see what you have there on the roster. And like Mark Stoops said, you can't build the defense your best 11 without having number 7 on the field.
Yeah.
So finding a way to get him on the field, whether it's that or whether they go back to kind of this hybrid base defense where they've got that, you know, that Sam Nickel medium type position where he can play, you got to find a way to get him on the field. Be interested to see how and hear and see how that develops him being at cornerback. But you're right. Got a big hole there. They got to figure out something. Maybe a late portal ad.
Yeah, I think with Vito at corner, it's a high risk, high reward proposition. He is going to be at corner.
That's how Vito lives his life, Freddie. High risk, high reward.
He's going to be very good against the run, but he's also going to bite on runs a lot and get beat behind him because he's an aggressive player. I think with Vito, the best place for him to play is that Sam position. Let him get on the edge, play, get in the box, play the run, rush the passer, see ball, get ball, really, with Vito is his best option. But corner, you got Carrington Valentine coming back who did some good things. Drew Phillips is going to get his shot. And then a bunch of players that we've never seen play, right?
Yeah.
Andre Stewart, Elijah Reed, Maxwell Harrison. I mean, some guys like that, you know, it's time. I mean, that's the evolution of roster management as you sign these corners. Now it's time to start producing. So I'm like Adam. I think the starting corner is probably not on campus right now. And a late portal ad will be necessary there.
Yeah, I will say Andrew Phillips is kind of the wild card. With all those guys there that were involved in the incident, they missed spring ball last year.
Yeah.
And that was a huge – I mean, that's a huge – I mean, that would have been Phillip. I don't think he was an early enrollee, so that would have been his first real spring at a position where he could have got a lot of live reps and he just really didn't. So he comes on last year, really just plays kind of special teams. There's a huge opportunity for him there. Like when they bring out the starting 11, there's a good chance he's in it there, you know, when they go full live contact here in a couple practices. So it's a huge opportunity for him. If he kind of can turn the corner at all, just a little bit, he could be a big part of the defense, I think.
Well, yeah, I think that's the best case scenario.
Right.
Because he's a tremendous, tremendous athlete. Comes from a great family. Carlos, his dad, was a teammate of mine. I want to see Drew succeed. But I do think whether it is to bring depth, quality depth, or to compete for a starting role, there could be a potential add to the portal. But I would love to see Drew Phillips just take over that spot and not give it up. And that would let some of these younger guys kind of ease into it and redshirt and get some more experience.
Well, and you just mentioned experience too, Freddie. Like that's why you try Vito at corner right now. 15 practices,
yeah.
But you aren't getting ready for anything. That's why I mean, I bet you we can count on both of our hands how many first team reps Jaquez Jones and DeAndre Square are going to get in team drills. They don't need spring ball at all. Like, they've played 4 years of college football. They know what the hell they're doing. The guys behind them need those reps. They need to learn how this all works. Same thing with the cornerbacks. Like, as many reps as possible. You cannot replicate game reps. But you can get a lot of stuff accomplished this spring. And I will say it was encouraging to hear that some folks at UK were pleasantly surprised at Elijah Reed and what he was bringing to the table. He's older. He was the fifth-year kid from PRP that just started playing the position recently, who's a little bit more physical.
He's got the size that they really want.
Yeah, he's much bigger than, like, the Huey or the Hairston kid that they brought in the last 2 years. So, you know, that could be a nice little wrinkle into things this spring. But you got a lot of young guys who are going to get a lot of reps. So now is the time to throw stuff against the wall, see what sticks. But I'm curious too, Freddie, if you're Brad White, right? I want you to put on your baggy Dockers. You know, I like that Brad's still wearing his khakis like it's 2006. Got the real baggy bottoms. Love it. Just never going out of style. it's like I'm going to be wearing the same stuff I wore in college forever. So walk me in for fashion in 2013. Me and Brad White, we're kindred spirits in that regard. But I want you to be Brad White. You and John Summerall were fighting over where to play Trevin Wallace last year.
Yeah.
Summerall's gone now. You've got two old heads in there. You've got De'Aaron Jackson, who dude's just going to go out and get eight tackles. He doesn't care if he tore his Achilles 6 months ago. He's going to go out there and bust some heads. What do you do with Trevin Wallace? Do you say, let's keep you at Mike? What are you going to do to try to get him? As Stoop said, you know, Vito's one of your best 11. You got to get him on the field. I think the same can be said about Trevin. So what are you doing if you're Brad White?
If I'm Brad White, I'm giving him a ton of reps at Mike this spring. Because, like you said, we need to talk about load management during spring practice eventually, but what does DeAndre Square and Jaquez Jones need to prove? I mean, they're veterans, seen it all, done it all. They will have to come familiar with a new position coach and Mike Stoops. So their reps may be more than we think. Mm-hmm. But with Wallace, I would go all in on him on the inside. But then I would experiment with him at the Sam. I mean, all over the place.
At that nickel spot.
He's athletic enough for that. Obviously, he has the size. I think he'd be perfect for that hybrid nickel position that Kentucky likes to use. And I think he and Vito, I mean, one of those two would be very good right there, right? But you got to put your best 11 on the field. Trevin Wallace is too good of a defensive player to sit and only play 10, 12, 15 snaps a game.
Well, and I think the sentiment that Mike Stoops would tell you and that Brad White would tell you is that once you master your main spot, then you can use that as a point of reference at your new spot. So
Absolutely. And
that's kind of how Eli Cox described going from guard to center. Like, there's a nice point of reference for you to know, like at center, you're going to know how the guards are hearing things or communicating things, what they're seeing. And that's probably going to be the same case with Trevin, where if he can get a good grasp of how Mike works, which I mean, he readily admitted to me last summer, like, yeah, I played like 1 year of linebacker in high school.
Yeah.
Like this stuff is a whole new world trying to figure everything out. So if he can get that figured out over these next 15 practices, then I think to answer my own question, the summer training camp, that might be a better time to say, let's slot him over to this nickel Sam and see what he can do there. Cause he's another see ball hit ball kind of guy.
Yeah. Too good to be on the sideline. And also you have the luxury of having five inside backers that are really good with Thrower, Jackson, and who am I missing?
Yeah, Thrower, Jackson, Wallace,
and there's five. Yeah, there's Jones. Five of them. So
yeah,
Jones. So yeah, there's plenty of bodies there. So yeah, once Wallace gets that mic position down, then move him around a little bit, and maybe we could see some packages as far as blitz packages and specialty personnel groups to get him more involved in the pass rush.
Yeah, and that's also another position too, Luckett, where how many times have we had a spring practice or something where one of these dudes is just – they guys get hurt playing middle linebacker in the SEC.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the rotation there, inside linebacker, is going to be interesting. I think tinkering with Trevin Wallace is a good idea, but like you said, Square's been banged up a lot in his career. I think playing game one through game 12 has been an issue for him. Jones got banged up a little bit at times last year. They've got the opportunity, I think, to really have a healthy rotation there and stay fresh throughout the season. And then you could enter a situation after you lose Square and Jones next year, you won't really be worried all too much because you could have a thing where those guys are kind of like pseudo starters there, Jackson and Trevin Wallace there. So very, very good situation. I think Mike Stoops inherits there at inside linebacker.
Question for both of you. I want you to fill in the blank. At the end of spring practice, the BBN is going to be talking about blank.
Dekel Crowdis.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'll say just the J.J. Weaver-Jordan Wright combo. I think having those two healthy together, I think you're going to see more of that traditional 3-4 defense that was originally their base. And I think those guys together can have a chance to be some game wreckers. So they have some havoc production to replace with Josh Pascal moving on. I think those two together could team up to kind of replace that. And I think they could be kind of the cornerstone pieces of this defense.
I was going to say Trayvon Ripka, because I think he's a rising player. He's got a different gear. I mean, he's fast, man, to be that big, and he's shown mobility. I really like Trayvon Ripka as well.
He's fast, and then Darren Henry Young is just enormous. That guy.
Yeah.
Dude, and man, he's
a big frame.
Yeah.
His frame is just huge. Like, you look at him, he looks skinny when we saw him a couple weeks ago, but when he fills out that frame, he's going to carry, like, probably 280. It's pretty – you know, and be able to move a little bit, 270 to 280. So, yeah, I mean, he's got – he checks some just boxes from a athletic and I think just from a frame standpoint. And if we'll see what he can do when he puts the pads on and plays, but you could definitely – you can see why he was highly sought after in high school and why he's an enticing prospect.
Yeah, I'm gonna hitch my wagon to Chris Lewis. But the reason why I think it will be a receiver, just because Freddie in that spring game, you know how they are, like it's all right. Eye candy. Yeah. We realize that, like, oh gosh, we forgot. This is just like low hanging fruit for people to get excited about. But I feel like Lewis is a candidate to have like a few just mossing on somebody type deal where he can just go up and catch it on top of guys. And Crowdis could be a good option, too, just being a blow-by guy.
It's been a while since Kentucky's had a true X receiver that could threaten the defense. And I think Chris Lewis is going to be that. I've heard nothing but really good things about him from last fall and leading up to spring practice. So I think that could be a good one.
And this guy, we're not talking about Keaton Upshaw's return.
Oh, yeah.
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 I think that's going to be big in this style of offense.
He's enormous.
We kind of forget what he kind of brought to the table. I mean, he was the guy people just kind of totally forgot about last year. He's back. I think that could be a really good relationship between him and Levis. And I could see him, Freddie, if you think Tavion Robinson leads the team, I could see Upshaw being number two in receptions and targets.
Yeah, you can make the argument that the collection of Upshaw, Bates, Jordan Dingle, and Isaiah Cummings combined will be your second leading receiver next year.
Right, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
I think you could feel good with Robinson and Upshaw being 1-2. But different than last year. You're going to need probably legit four because you're not going to throw the ball to Wandell Robinson 160, you know, or 130 times or whatever it was. But those two give you a good, I think, base starting point. And then you've got some other guys that you probably feel good about that can hopefully fill those roles.
I think, Adam, I think, honestly, that more so, like you said, I mean, Robinson was targeted on darn near every pass play. I think you're going to see specific personnel groups for specific call plays more 2022 than we saw this last year, where you might have a package for a slot option package with Mikael Crowdis, or, you know, might have an isolation on an X and make sure Lewis is in there. Third down, Dane Key is a great route runner, excellent ball skills. Maybe he could be your third down go-to player. So I think specific personnel groups, specific formations will be matched up with play calls more next year than this year.
Yeah, you're just right there. You're kind of scheming up touches, right?
Yeah.
You're going to – let's go. Let's get Tavion a touch here. Let's get Keaton a touch. Let's try to get, you know, we'll put Isaiah Cummings in here, line him up in the slot, get him a touch. Just try to, you know, you got some mouths to feed, so try to feed him. And then all that stuff will, you know, all those looks will help open up something later in another package. But with those tight ends, like formationally, I think they're going to be able to do a lot of things. Very interested to see how kind of Scangarello builds out from that.
They're back.
You got that.
Just
Cummings and Upshaw, they can play that. They can play that boundary isolation X in certain. You could just line them up, maybe red zone, short yardage, and move people around, get defenses out of, get them in base, but really you can split out wide with maybe Cummings, and you can do some things in the pass game. So a lot of chess pieces, and I liked how Scangarello put that with the tight ends, Nick, on Tuesday. Talked about how that tight end position can be like a chess piece for them to use against the defense, get defense in certain looks that they know they're going to get, and then they can attack that way with those guys.
I know Justice Dingle was moved to fullback, but I saw Jordan Dingle play that fullback role at Bowling Green High School, and he did so very well. That could possibility. But
Dingles. We could be the Dingle Bears.
I had the honor of playing with two of the best ever to play fullback at Kentucky, Andy Murray and Terry Samuels. And trust me, it is a benefit to have those dudes, have a fullback. Of course, John Connor came later, but I like that. I like the thought of having a fullback in the formation.
Brendan Bates has the fullback mindset. He's kind of a meathead, just like big personality, loves just wrecking dudes. So I'm all in on a little 21
personnel. It can help so much in the red zone. I mean, you can get in there in a tighter set. Defense aren't used to that two-back run game, and then it's an easier way to sneak a tight end out or a bootleg down there because they're like, oh, this is a different look. We need to focus on fullback. They're probably coming at us, and you can sneak some stuff past them. So I think in the red zone, it could be a big weapon.
Against Iowa, that was a big thing with Kentucky's linebackers, especially with Square and Jones out of the equation. You get young guys in there, they've never seen a fullback before, probably in their life. Mm-hmm. And here comes Iowa with a fullback. That changes up your reads and all kinds of good stuff. So, I like it.
Right. Worried about, like, playing the run like you need to play it, but then you got to worry about the tight end coming back across formation and got to make sure your drops are right or whatever. It's just more – it makes the defenders think more because they don't see it a lot. And that's why I think Mark Stoops is kind of leaning into this offense. Because you look at the SEC landscape right now, it's a lot of heavy RPO and then Art Briles style offense where Ole Miss and Tennessee are kind of spreading it out and doing a lot of that stuff where Kentucky's really the only team you're getting a lot of under center looks. And then this outside zone stretch stuff. Some people do, but it looks different because Drinkwitz and them do it out of the pistol. Stuff like that. So I think they're kind of zigging while a lot of other people are zagging in the league. I think there's value for them to be found there with this scheme.
Look at you mentioned earlier Darren Henry Young's frame. Dude can hold a lot of weight. We're going to take a break and we come back. I want to talk about another guy who carries his weight pretty well right after this. we talked a lot about Kentucky spring football, but we need to now turn our attention to the professional ranks of the NFL draft, where Freddie Maggard, I don't think anybody carries 337 pounds better than Evan Neal from Alabama.
Yeah, he looked good, didn't he?
I wish I could carry 250 pounds the way he carries 337. My God.
Interesting, though, that the Jaguars put the franchise tag.
Yeah, that was surprising.
On their left tackle. So that kind of throws a wrench into it all as far as the first pick. But, yeah, I mean, I like the tackles in this class. I like Evan Neal all the way down. Obviously, Trevor Penning.
Penning's a nut job. I love that guy. Yeah. He's got some screws loose.
Yeah, Michigan has a couple tackles.
Of course, the Michigan guy. I just love that Penning just doesn't look like an athlete at all. Yeah. And is a crazy athlete.
Yeah.
He looks like the dude that, like, you played peewee football with that, like, had boogers on his T-shirts, you know, and, like, his pads all backwards. And, like, he's out there just, like, putting up crazy, crazy numbers.
I mean, a lot of people talking about the defensive side of this draft, but I like the tackles, man. The offensive tackles, I mean, Darren Kinnard most likely be moved down to guard, but this class is very, very deep at tackle. I like it a lot.
So if you're Jacksonville Jaguars GM Freddie Maggard, who are you taking with the number one pick?
The Jacksonville Jaguars with the first pick, I will take Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati.
Ooh, interesting. Well, why can I feel like that's not too much different than where you're thinking?
Yeah, like if I was the GM, I wouldn't have tagged Cam Robinson. I would just took one of those tackles. But
exactly.
So, yeah, I think it seemed like all signs are pointing to Hutchinson. They're just going to take the edge rusher.
That means like they probably get rid of Josh then, right?
That's long term. That would be the move, that they wouldn't have to re-sign Josh there. They
ship him, trade him midseason, and get something for him.
Right, get a fifth.
I hope he gets out of there, man. I hope he gets out of there.
Yeah, what is Josh? Is he coming up on this? Will this be his fourth year?
This will be his fourth year. So
yeah, so they got to make the so he's coming up on the 5-year extension. So he's going to get through this year play. They're going to see what they have in Hutchinson if they take him. And then he's probably going to be either a trade target late in the year next year or offseason. He'll probably get traded. That's what I can see kind of developing.
Yeah.
But like Kyle Hamilton is a guy, like he's probably my favorite player in this draft, which is a 6'3", 6'4" safety, rangy, can do multiple things at the safety position, play deep, can come in the box, can play to nickel for you. At the top, there's not the clear like slam dunk home run, I think, at the top of the board.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think you could see it maybe getting a little crazy on draft day because of that, especially when those quarterbacks start going off. But he's a guy that I feel pretty safe that he's going to be a pretty good pro.
Yeah, that's why I didn't take him because of Josh. I want Josh to get the big money somewhere. But, yeah, I mean, I don't see why in the world the Jacksonville – tagged their left tackle. I mean, that makes no sense to me, but I guess that's why they're the Jaguars.
Well, they talked to our pal Luke Fortner. They could They could use a center for Trevor Lawrence. Luckett found out that their guy is on his way out. He's got 1 year left.
Yeah, so. But it's even sounding like he's a cut candidate here when these cuts start coming right before, I believe, free agency starts. They're definitely 100% in the market for a center.
No. I don't want any UK guys going to Jacksonville.
Hey, I've got a buddy down there though. He's doing well, so maybe we can at least get them. They can know a guy, but man, that sounds brutal for him. I will say, just general draft talk. Very happy for a Louisville kid. Desmond Ritter, he had
a big week in Indy.
I mean, it's one of those, like, Freddie, I was talking to Luckett. I don't even remember him when he was at St. X. He was so just not thought of in the conversation when it comes to recruits. And now, I mean, the way he performed at the combine, dude's going to end up sneaking in the first round. I know that people are down on quarterbacks, but these teams, you're right now, you're either trading for a guy or you have to just try to roll the dice and get lucky. Once a couple quarterbacks start going, teams, they feel the need. They act out of fear and they got to pick somebody. I think Ritter's going to end up sneaking in the first round somewhere.
Yeah, I think you can make the argument he could be potentially the third quarterback behind Willis and Pickett right now. I mean, it's between him and Corral probably, and maybe Sam Howell lurking. But yeah, I think you could definitely see him sneaking into that, like into the draft. The Lions have all kinds of issues. Maybe they want to take a flyer at a quarterback since they got a pick early in the draft. That could be a spot for him. But yeah, and then the interesting thing with Ritter is that like that quarterback class in 2017, how close Kentucky was to really finding like a really good player there. You had him and Tanner Morgan in state. Mm-hmm. They go with Walker Wood instead. You had, I believe it was that Mac Jones class.
Yeah.
So you have Mac Jones committed. You fire Shannon Dawson. He decommits. And then you kind of you land on Danny Clark. And that was Eddie Grant and Darren Henshaw's first full class for a quarterback. And you're oftentimes defined by that first quarterback you get. And unfortunately, they just couldn't find one there. But they were really close to finding, you know, like a legit guy. And now you're looking at Ritter, potentially first-round pick. He was right in your backyard. You miss on Mac Jones. He, of course, does what he does at Alabama. So close, yet so far away. But the margins are thin sometimes.
Yeah, I was happy with the Kentucky guy, especially Wandale. Mm-hmm. I thought he had a good combine. And I thought Josh Pascal and Luke had really good combine. And then Darren Rosenthal, the fastest 40 of any offensive lineman. Did we ever find out why Houston and Marquon McCall didn't participate in the drills?
No, and the weird part was is they – from it looked like they even did the on-field stuff. So, I don't know. I know the combine schedule in general, they changed up when players work out.
Yeah, a lot of people were unhappy the bench was the same day as the running – the testing.
Yeah. So the schedule stuff, a lot of agents just told them to wait on their pro days essentially.
Right.
So I think that's probably what it was because a lot of guys didn't work out.
Yeah. But if you're useless and McCall, if you look at the ratings by the NFL, they're right on the edge. They're
borderline.
I don't know who advised them. If somebody advised them not to, I would question that judgment.
You mentioned quarterbacks like it and who you're targeting, all that sort of stuff. First quarterback that UK hosted on a campus visit with Scangarello here, Danny O'Neill, kid from Cathedral, who's 2024. So that would be a junior to be?
Yeah, right. He's a sophomore right now.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, there's one to put your pin in. I know Uncle Jeff and Uncle Brian, they offered him up at Purdue. He's got a handful of offers out there. So there's one to put your pin in. But also, Freddie, it's so weird to talk about kids in 2024. Like, it's just like that they're children.
Yeah.
They're children. And like, and this kid's got like a mop of hair on his head, too. And it's just like, you just want to give him a noogie, you know? And it's like, oh, this kid could end up being like star quarterback in the future. Like, just.
Yeah. I saw a 2024 just run over dudes down to 13 threes in tournament.
Man. Yeah.
Gavin, I mean, he couldn't help it. I mean, he wouldn't, there was no malice in fouls. He just would just bump into dudes and they would fall 5 feet backwards. I mean,
yeah. He's built different. Just a little bit.
Gavin Chadwell could buy a beer right now and they wouldn't even ID him. I mean, he's a freaking adult. That guy, he's one of those that I just hope he stays the right course because, man, he is just – he's built to be an SEC football player.
Whew. He's a monster.
Goodness gracious. Well, Freddie, have you found out your hidden gem in the draft yet? I know you're big on, like – you latch on to somebody and you're like, this guy's going to be something else. Curious if you found it yet.
I'm working on it. I'm leaning towards Bernard. I don't know how to say his name. Bernard Raman or Raymond.
Raymond.
From Central Miss. Raymond. I like him. Only problem he had, his arms were a little bit short at 32 and 7'8" or something of that nature. But I like him because he was a tight end. He's from Austria. He's new to football. He's an incredible athlete. And I think his career may start a little rough, but I really like I always pick guys that are maybe first round, maybe not first round, but I like him a lot.
Yeah, and I'm and you touched on the UK guys. I don't know how Josh Pascal's tree trunks move like they do, but my goodness. Like, the pictures of him, his freaking thighs, gee, holy moly. I haven't seen him in any second-round mocks yet, Luckett. We're starting to get more of those two-round mocks. I'm wondering if
– it's just the draft's just – it's there's just a lot of guys that play his position, and then pass rushing wins out. And if you draft Josh, pass rush is just not his best, their top attribute. Yeah. He can do some things as a pass rusher, but he's probably going to be, more of an interior type guy. Second round may have to get into, but he's going to be a high third round pick. I feel pretty safe in that.
Where do y'all project the Kentucky guys if the draft was today?
Pascal was 268, ran a 4.77, and was like a bottom five defensive end. Those dudes, they're the best athletes in the world, as far as I'm concerned. An NFL edge like that,
they're freaks.
They're not humans. Like, humans should not be built to.
Yeah, I would have Darren Kennard probably middle-ish to the second round. He didn't have a great – the combine wasn't great for him, I don't think. Didn't test super well on kind of some of the athletic numbers. And then, had some moments at the Senior Bowl, but seemed like it was kind of up and down. I would say him middle second round. I would say Pascal early third. And then I would say Wandell somewhere in the second round too. Pascal early third. And then I think you're kind of looking day three. You're looking at Rosenthal. I think you're looking at Yusuf and Fortner. I would say Fortner probably early round four. I think he goes early because he's going to be one of the better centers, I think, in this class. I think Corker gets drafted, and I think Marquand, it's going to be pretty free agent borderline. Right, borderline kind of sixth round kind of thing.
Yeah, that's why I said that about the combine. You would think that those two would – try to do everything, to impress. But pro day is going to be big for both of those guys. So I hope the best for all of them. And back to your point, Nick, when you said those guys are freaks, the pass rushers, that's why when I talk about Keontae Goodwin, I always talk about expectation management, from high school in Indiana to blocking one-on-one the best athlete on the defense. That's a tough ask for a true freshman. So expectation management should be considered, when we're talking about Keontae Goodwin.
Oh, man. I'm scrolling through Twitter.
And he plays a position, too, where a lot of people don't realize you only know when he's doing something bad.
Right.
That's true.
You only know when it's a false start. You only know when, that's a sack.
Yeah.
And so that can especially a big name kid like that.
Yeah.
That can hurt. But yeah, I think you're right with him. There's definitely there is some rough around the edges with him as a prospect. But long-term projecting, he's got a chance, I think, to really be special, but he's got some ways to go.
Yeah.
Freddie, I've reached a point, and you got Aaron Rodgers is staying in Green Bay. Russell Wilson's going to Denver. Get Jameis Winston to Pittsburgh, please.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at. I'm desperate. If nothing else, just give me entertainment, because I cannot watch Mason Rudolph take a snap under center. I can't.
Well, if Luke Fortner's snapping the ball, then I'm okay with it, because I'll just be there to watch Luke. But I can't do that either. That's gonna be brutal. My goodness. Yeah, I'm worried about our Steelers, Nick, pretty bad.
You gotta take the medicine and try to address it next year.
Just howling the hog over here. He's living the good life.
I'm just telling the guys just aren't out there. It's not a good year to need a quarterback, And then the ones that are being traded are going to, AFC teams. But that's done now. It looks like with Rodgers staying and Russell Wilson gone. And then if Deshaun lands anywhere, it'll be an NFC team. Deshaun Watson. But yeah, it's just. It's not, trust me, it's no fun not having a good quarterback. I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
To be the eight and eight, 7-9 or 7-10, 8-9 area, it's honestly look like the worst place to be if you don't have a quarterback.
So what are the Bengals going to do? Because I know a lot of people listening to this are Bengals fans.
Yeah, I think the goal is to address offensive line through free agency, get a couple starters, and then find a cornerback or a defensive tackle because they're probably going to lose. We're probably going to pay some free agents. They're going to lose a couple defensive tackles potentially because they're going to try to address the offensive line. So that's probably the move there. And then add some depth probably at O-line second and third round.
Well, I don't want to linger on NFL talk too much more. I'm just going to get upset that I hitched my wagon to the freaking Pittsburgh Steelers and Mason freaking Rudolph. But so I will say that it is March. There is madness. We have Sweet 16s happening at Rupp Arena. Exciting stuff. This is the part of the year where I remind everybody that the Sweet 16 is a great tournament. It's mm-hmm. wonderful. And no offense to the folks out there in the state, Freddie, but there are 10 teams better in Louisville that aren't involved. And it always made me very mad because winning our district might as well have been winning the damn region. It infuriated me.
Yeah.
But there's still some really good ball teams out there. Ashland Blaze.
Well, most of the top five is going to Lexington. You look at
Blazer, they're one of them.
You got Mel, Cuffcath, mm-hmm. Warren Central. Warren Central and Mel playing first round. It's going to be a huge game. And then right north, and then North Laurel and George Rogers Clark.
George Rogers Clark, yeah. Blazer's opening with Cuffcath. Yeah. So I expect there to be a huge, huge turnout next week at Rupp. Would love nothing more than a Reed Shepherd Caleb Glenn final. Make it like Richie versus Allen Houston back in the day, Freddie. That would be awesome.
Yeah, and then you know, it's either the beauty of the tournament or it's a thing the tournament could do differently. That North Laurel's playing Pikeville in the first round, and then you know it could be Mel and Ashland or something. So
yeah,
one bracket could be loaded with the best teams, and you know a lesser team up top can just slide on down to the championship. So it's random. I mean, it's the luck of the draw, and that's what makes it beautiful. But I'm a big fan of Sweet 16. I'm going to the girls' tournament tomorrow to watch Letcher County Central. Look forward to that. And it's a big basketball couple weeks for the KHSAA and Rupp Arena, which my only concern and one of the reasons I don't want to go is because it's cashless, everything.
Oh,
yeah.
Freddie, you and I, we are speaking the same language. I cannot stand the stupid I have cash. Take my money. I don't want to have to use my damn card everywhere. It drives me nuts.
First of all, I wouldn't know how to get a ticket, one, to be on my phone. Two, how do you pay with your phone? Because they said parking's involved, or do you just give them your card?
You just
give them your card.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking you had to do something, download something, and get a parking thing and all that stuff. That was a big thing. And you can't go to the ticket counter to buy a ticket. Is that correct?
What are we doing? I
would assume you have to do it all. It's just online, so it's just you got to do it all on your phone. Buy it on your phone.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Do they know who their audience is? Like Sweet 16 is people who go year after year after year. Yeah, it ain't a bunch of millennials, a bunch of Zoomers.
I have made zero purchases on Amazon in my life. I mean, that's legit. I don't know how to do online anything. So I don't.
When you order a pizza, you still call the pizza place?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, I'm the same way, too.
I couldn't tell you the last time I called a pizza place. I couldn't tell you the last time I did that.
Well, I need to ask. I want to know what the specials are, you know?
Yeah, I want to know how bad the traffic is in downtown Versailles, you know? I like to go get my pizza anyway, so.
Oh, I'm the same way, Freddie. I haven't gotten delivery anything ever to my new house, and hell, even when I had my old house,
I'm like that too. Taylor likes to do that stuff, and I'm like, I'll go pick it up. Just tell me what you want, and I'll go pick it up.
I just want to get out of the house.
You can pay me the delivery. Pay me the $5 the delivery charge.
Listen, there are weeks that go by that I don't talk to a human being other than Helen. You know, it's you know when you work from home like we do, and there's nothing, no big events. I enjoy going to Kroger. You know, I enjoy going to pay for the pizza.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I enjoy, yeah.
When we were locked down, like, whenever you have to go to the grocery, I was like, I'll go. Let me go to the grocery, because I was sitting here in my dungeon all day downstairs. Let me go. I'll go pick up the food or whatever. Yes, I know. Yes, I get that. Just to have some type of social interaction.
I tell you what I did last night just for some entertainment is bored, you know, wrote a little thing for Eli Cox. And I was bored, and everybody's talking about gas prices. So I got my car and rode around all the gas stations in Versailles just seeing how much gas was.
Yeah.
So that's a big night for me, man.
I love, too, that you burned up gas to see how cheap expensive gas was.
Yeah, that was a big night for me, man.
Oh, man. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Hopefully, we give you all a little bit of a football fix before it's all basketball everything for the next few weeks. But we're still going to have spring practice reports. They're Tuesdays and Thursdays for the most part, but the Cats are taking next week off for spring break. So a little bit of football's back, but not so fast. So we get a little bit of break, but we'll have a lot more football coming at you here towards the end of March, into April, and we got everything to get you ready for the UK football spring game. So, Freddie, it's been a joy. It's been a pleasure. We'll be talking again soon. Until then, go Cats and go Kroger.